Welcome back to the Journey Promises podcast. I am so excited for you guys to meet my guest today. This is my friend, Maddie. I met Maddie when I was in Nicaragua and we were both doing full-time ministry and missions there. And she has just been such an inspiration to me. She's doing all of the cool things, living her best life in Norway right now. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear her story. And so Maddie, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, so I mean, like Amber said, my name is Maddie, and I am currently a full-time missionary in Norway on the West Coast with Youth with a Mission. And right now I am getting ready for our discipleship training school to start. And so 35 students from really all around the world are coming to dive into what does it mean to truly know God and then make him known to the rest of the world.
Yeah. Why don't you just like fill us in? Where did this all begin? Where did you first feel like you were called to the mission field? And then how did God kind of just like move you in that direction?
Yeah. It really started when I was 19, so I'm 24 now. And I've grown up in a Christian home. And so ministry had always been a part of my life in some aspect. But stereotypical United States mission or ministry life. I just didn't feel like I was the right fit for it, at least at that time. And then I was given the opportunity to lead a trip of like 10 people to Nicaragua for 2 weeks. And then slowly, like leading closer to the date for leaving, everyone came up with an excuse or a reason not to go. And then I just felt this draw to go. So I called our contact down there and he asked if I wanted to come for 2 months instead. So instead of leading a group of 10 for 2 weeks to Nicaragua, I ended up just going down to Nicaragua by myself for 2 months to photograph for a missions organization. And there I really caught God's heart for the nations. And then when I went back to the States after that, I just wanted to leave, but I still had commitments. So I'm like, okay, I just want to finish my commitment until I leave. And then, yeah, after that, I just worked for a bit. I spent 3 months just nannying in Switzerland. And even that, I felt like, okay, this is like everyday missions, but not in my home country again. Mm-hmm. And then I came back to the States and I had heard about Youth with a Mission. I have multiple friends that have done it, and I thought about joining right after I finished high school, but I just felt like God was saying I needed to wait. And so I just waited and kind of forgot about it. So then 3 years after the first time I went to Nicaragua, I went back there for what I thought was 3 months and ended up there for 5. And that's where I met Amber, and we were roommates and killed scorpions together and
fought battles and did all the things.
Everything. We spoke at a debrief in Costa Rica together.
Did. I forget about that.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, did that happen?
I know.
Or was that a dream? But yeah, I totally did that. So just lived our best lives in Nicaragua. And while I was there, God just opened up my eyes to Youth with a Mission again. And Amber and I were actually at the airport waiting to pick up a team. And this family from Northern California just like showed up. And the husband started talking to me. And at first I'm like, why in the world are you talking to me? We're just waiting for a team to pick up. Anyway, found out that he had done Youth with a Mission like 12 years prior. And he was like, yeah, well, if the Holy Spirit's leading you, then he's going to provide everything. And if this actually isn't from Holy Spirit, then he'll close the doors. Because if you're functioning in his Spirit, then your desires are going to be his desires. Mm. And I just felt like I fell on the ground. I didn't actually fall on the ground. But mentally, I felt like I just fell back and was just like in awe of that one statement. And that's been something like just a key phrase that has carried me through a lot of the last couple years. So I ended up calling with the school that I looked into, and it was a creative arts school. So it's 5 months of getting to know God and what that means to be creative as a Christian and take that into the world. And then 2 months of going and applying that on an outreach. And so I came to Norway just with this, I don't know, this word that I felt like I got from the Lord of the next thing that I step into, it's going to be a long commitment. Mm. And so I was really cautious even coming of like, God, if this is where you have me to be next, then I guess I'll be there probably for a while. But if this is just a step towards that thing, then I know that you'll give me like the heart capacity that I need to be here and then to get me into the next thing. But while I was here in Ålesund, Norway, each time we would have like intercession for Norway or for the city of Ålesund, I just felt like there was this fire in my heart of, I just want to see revival here, or, oh God, you have such great plans for Ålesund. Like, this town is a creative town. There's artists all over, musicians, painters. It's a really iconic spot for photographers, so it makes sense why I ended up here.
Yes.
But I just got a heart for Ålesund. And so I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to make a decision to come back and staff here and like move my life to Norway unless I really feel like this is what God has for me. Because it's a big step to move all the way across the world without an end date. And I've heard of so many missionaries that go somewhere for like a year and then they end up there for 40. So I'm like, all right, let's be wise about this. But coming back from outreach, I just felt like there was just such an impression to come back to Ålesund and invest not just in the base here, but in the city and just go into the unknown and be okay with just taking it one day at a time. And God has just been so faithful through all of that. And one of my concerns with coming here was like, shoot, I was just gone for 5 months and then I came home for 6 weeks and then I was gone for another 5 months. And I want to see my family and reconnect with friends because so much had happened the year before. And due to restrictions and lockdowns, I was able to be home for 9 months instead of 4. And so got to reconnect with family and friends and work while being over there. And reconnect in my church and step out more and worship there. And that really, there's stuff that happened when I was home that really set up being here for, like, with more success. So now I'm in Norway getting ready for 35 students to show up starting Monday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday there'll just be a bunch of youth coming, not just youth, there are some that are in their 30s too. And so just to see a generation that is hungry to go and step again, like step into the unknown and be like, God, I want to know what my purpose is here on earth. And if myself and the staff get to be involved with 5 months of that process of their life, like, that's such an honor.
Yeah.
And I feel like honor is one of another one of the words that just has really spoken into my time here. It's like, yeah, I'm here, get to, you know, live in Norway, which just sounds cool, but it gets so dark. There's like 5 hours of light in the day. Winter is dark for sure, but knowing that, God, it's an honor to be here. Like, I could be anywhere. I could be back in the States. I could be in Nicaragua again, or Guam, or I don't know, South Africa, but anywhere that it is, it's like, it's still just such an honor to serve the Lord. And when it's viewed like that, like sacrifices, or I think what we view as sacrifices, just become way lighter because it really is an honor.
Oh, I love that. I like how you view that as an honor to serve the Lord, because it is. And I think we take it for granted some days, just our call to everyday ministry, but also the specific calls in our life, like you in Norway, me in Virginia, and just constantly remembering that every day it's an honor to serve the Lord. And it really is such like a privilege to get to be here. And I know I take it for granted some days. And so, man, that's good viewing it as every day, like, God, this is a gift and this is a gift from you. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to run with it. It's so good.
Yeah. And some days I actually just go into our classroom and just pound on the piano because I'm like, what the heck, Lord? Like, what am I doing here? This isn't what I thought I signed up for. And I'm just like pounding on the piano because that's how I found a great way to process emotion and and different thoughts. But then after that, it's like, God, there's a piano here to process on. And I'm not even like, I'm a pianist. I'm not. I can play chords and just roll with it. But it's still a way that, it's available there on the bass to just go and process.
Yeah.
And then other days, like, I think seeing students, like our last school, and even talking to students on the phone coming to this school, which I guess the dates don't really matter because this will be released after, but whatever. In my real time right now, this is my timeline. But just seeing those moments of like, oh, this makes sense. Like there was one of my girls at the school last year and just the word sanctification, every time it came up, like we'd be in class and she would just look at me and be like, just mouth sanctification. And I'm like, yeah, God is making things right again. And it's those moments, not like the full weeks of, oh, this was the theme, but like the small moments of, whoa, Holy Spirit just touched that person. Or being in the back of a classroom and the lecturer like pulls you up, it's like, you come here, and then they just prophesy over you, and then you just stand in front of all your students crying, and it's like, I feel so raw and vulnerable right now.
But it's those moments.
Yeah, it's those moments where it's like, oh God, this is why I'm here. It's not my agenda, it's your agenda.
Yeah,
and your agenda is good.
Yeah. So on the way, like getting you to Norway, what are some of the key times when you just like saw God's faithfulness, either in small moments or massive moments? Like, what are some of the most key What are some of the most memorable times when you can be like, I saw God's hand in this very situation?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind was getting my visa, because all of the embassies were closed. And so I got a call from one of the staff members here in Norway just saying that somebody had gotten an appointment for their visa and that I needed to call the embassy immediately to book an appointment before they fill up or COVID cases got worse or raised again, and then everything would be shut down. And so I just called around and they were like, oh, you have to do this thing online. And so I just went to a coffee shop and just like, boom, 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 boom. You know, like I felt like a spy, just like hiding away in a corner at a coffee shop, like trying to get into government websites to try to book an appointment or whatever. But my pastor was there that day. And I feel like I ran into my pastor at coffee shops every single time where there'd be something like, I should text my pastor about this, or, oh, it'd just be nice if somebody would pray with me about this. And then I would go to a coffee shop and then I would walk in and be like, yo,
what's up?
I'm about to try to book a ticket. Can you just, or not a ticket, but a appointment. Can you pray over me? And just bam, prayer. So it's like those memorable moments of even getting to Norway, of God would put people in my path, right? When it's like, oof, this could get super stressful. I don't want to stress out, but like,
yeah,
it's gliding towards stressful quick. And then be like, all right, let me just pray over you. And I'm like, thank you so much. And then we'd go and do it. And I booked my appointment and I'm like, oh, amazing. I have like 2 weeks before I need to be in Houston. And so I ended up calling, I think I called my mom and said that I was going to Houston, and she was like, oh, okay, cool. Your cousin lives in Houston. And I'm like, what? Since when? And so ended up that I had a place to stay and I didn't have to book an expensive hotel because it was all around like the embassy government buildings in Houston. So I'm like, all of that's going to be like the most expensive hotels because embassy people stay there and I am not one of those. My budget right now is not embassy status hotels. And so even that, I messaged her and she was like, yeah, but that's in 5 days. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I looked at the wrong date on the calendar. I have to be in Houston in 5 days. And so I booked a ticket super quick. And then I flew to Houston and they, like my cousin and her husband, as we were going back to their house, Houston was having a huge storm. Like half the city was shut down that weekend. And I'm like, it would be this weekend. Yeah. Nice. but she said that I booked a flight to the airport that was closer to their house because Houston has the two airports.
Yeah.
And so instead of driving an hour and a half to get to the airport to pick me up, all they had to drive was like 30 minutes. So even that, it was like, whoa, God, like, I don't know Houston. I don't know where the airports are. I've had a layover there before, but
yeah,
I just slept in the airport. And so that was definitely a way of God providing of, cousin living super close to where I needed to be and being off work that week to where they could drive me and I didn't have to Uber all over Houston.
Yeah.
So that was pretty amazing. And then my visa got approved and even getting to Norway, like the job that I was working, it paid pretty well. And so I was able to buy a new laptop, which my other one was on the brink of death again. And I'm like, I don't trust this. Like I'm going to teach photography and I don't know if my laptop will survive like processing that many photos.
Yeah.
And so even that way of like God providing a job right when I needed it. And then like, okay, I have the equipment I need to do my job well instead of just sliding by. Yeah, those are the two that come to mind like straight away.
I love how, so I feel like a lot of times when we're like, oh, how have you seen God's faithfulness in your life? People instantly think of like the big miracles or they're like, I don't really know, like nothing like huge has happened. And so I love that you pointed out that even just like the small things of like, hey, my cousin just happened to be home and available and willing to take me in for a week to, hey, God provided me with work and I was able to get the things that I needed so that I could glorify him better. Like it wasn't like, oh, he dropped a laptop from the sky or like,
and I caught it before it hit the ground
or the ambassador just showed up on my door and handed me my visa. Like it's just that reminder that God is faithful in like the everyday. And in like the little things, and that coincidence doesn't just happen. Like coincidence isn't a thing. It's God's faithfulness in every step and how he has just like ordained every step of your life to get you to exactly where you are. And so that you can glorify him, so that you can have the honor of being in his presence and in his will. And that's just so cool. So I love that your two examples of like his faithfulness were just so like tangible. Like things that I can look in my life and I can be like, oh yeah, God did, like he did that for me. And like, he did this for me and he's provided in this way. And that's just really good. I loved that.
But even like, cause Norway is so freaking cold. Like I have never been so cold before as I have been in Norway, just because the wind chill is freezing and where I live on the coast. And so it doesn't get crazy cold. But even like I was up north in the beginning of December and like my joints and my fingers were aching just because of how cold it was up there. But even right before I left, I prayed that like I needed a winter jacket even before getting to Norway. And so I went into like Sierra Trading Post and the first thing I saw was this this Canadian like down jacket, and I looked at it and it was like negative 20 or negative 17 in Celsius for like keeping you warm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way, this is going to cost like an arm and a leg. And it was, I think, a quarter or if not a third of the price as it would have been.
That's
and
nice.
I'm like, this, what? Is this a mess up with like the tag? And I don't know why it was that price, other than God knew I needed a jacket. And it ended up being like, I mean, I use it all the time because it's my warmest jacket.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful for even that of like, God, I need a jacket and I know you'll provide.
Yeah. He cares about the smallest details of his plan.
Yeah.
Like he, when you look even the creation story, like he cared about the purpose of the lilies and mm-hmm. the flight patterns of the birds. And he cared about just the smallest details to make his creation perfect. And he'll do that in our lives as well. He's like, Maddie needs a jacket. Here you go. Here's the perfect jacket that will keep you warm as you go to where I call you to go. And like, it's just like the little things and how he just is so perfect in providing in like the smallest ways.
Because when we can look at the tangible moments of God's provision, it makes like even going through like really difficult situations so much easier, because it's like, well, God provided when I thought life was good.
Mm.
And even now, like, there are still things I can find joy in, and his peace is still here. So it really is in those small, tangible moments.
Yeah. What are some of the hardships that you've had to face?
When working with YWAM, and I think a lot of missions organizations that deal with short-term missions, you have to say goodbye a lot. And so one of my prayers when I moved here is that I wouldn't become numb to saying goodbye.
Mm.
And so working with this last school, there are 33 students, and we were 5 full-time staff. And so there was just a lot to juggle and a lot to do during that time, because we were pretty short on staff. There was just, our days were very full. And yeah. Even doing one-on-ones with students, and then it was like, oh, but I still have all of these things that I need to get done. There were days where it was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but God would just show up and be like, hey, my grace is sufficient. And my joy is your strength. And so take a hold of it, because you have to reach out and get it.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, whoa, how did I get through this last week? And then God would be like, my grace is sufficient. And so definitely like learning to rely on his grace when it feels like you don't have enough people to do the job at hand. But then he's like, it's all right. I got you. You're doing your best. That's all I'm asking for, is that you do your best and I'll take care of the rest. And then one of my, I think it was similar actually to like when you left Nicaragua, because I was there another 2 months.
I think so.
I believe. Or a month and a half maybe.
Or something like that.
Yeah. And even like that goodbye of like, oh, Amber's my like safe place here. But here, like one of my friends, she left and we were just super tight. Like still are, you know, long distance friendships. It's, you connect when you can.
Yeah.
And those moments are so sweet. But like we were going to leave the school together with one more person. And then God called her back to Australia. And it was like, what? Like, we had so many plans. But even in that, like saying goodbye was like, this isn't a goodbye. It's a see you later. And I think for me, because I value relationship so highly, like that's one of my highest values.
Yeah.
And just having to say goodbye, but still like God, like keep my heart soft in saying all of these goodbyes. That's been hard. There's been some deaths of people in the community of where I grew up. And so knowing that like, I can't go and be with the family or friends that are closer to our family that it's like, I can't just go back right now to be there with them.
Mm.
And so it's like, what does it look like to grieve from a distance, around, surrounded by people who have no idea who this person is? And so it's been, there have been some lower points. But even in that, like, I never wanted to become bitter.
Yeah.
Or like, God, well, you called me here, so why are all these things happening? It's like, you called me here, so you're going to give me strength to be here. Even if that's emotional strength to step out. And you know me, like, I'm super, super extroverted.
Yes.
People, like, oh, people are my weakness.
I was always so jealous about that in Nicaragua. I was like, Maddie just has this capacity to A, like, light up a room, but also talk to anyone. Like, even if they didn't speak your language, you were like, we're having a conversation. We are going to talk to each other. And I just always loved, like, that determination to love people. Like, mm-hmm. I admire that so much about you.
Well, thank you. My heart feels spoken too. But this summer, I was the only one on our base for part of the summer. And I felt so isolated and just like, Norwegian culture is more of, you don't really talk to people on the streets. And coming from Nicaragua to Norway, that was a crazy culture shock.
Oh, I bet.
But it was like, okay, I know a few people like around town, and but they're working and I have the summer off. And so there were moments of just like total isolation and just trying my hardest to be like, no, it's fine, this is good, you know, to summer alone. But then I would just be so sad for some days of like, oh, actually, like being with people, that is a necessity in my life. Even if it's just like every other day going over to my friend's work and just saying hi, like that just filled up my heart so much.
Yeah.
But then I felt like there was just, again, experiencing God's grace of, oh, this isn't, I could look at this as an isolating summer, or I can choose to see what solitude actually means. And then I picked up a book and finished that. And I picked up another book and just finished that. And I hated reading growing up. Like, if somebody handed me a book, I'm like, gonna read half of it and then never touch it again. But like the last half of last year, I think it was like 8 books.
Oh, wow.
And I think in the last 4 years, I've finished 8 books.
That sounds like
instead
me.
Of like, okay, here's the 6 months, like 8 books. And like, okay, God, I can use this time to learn more, like understand a topic better. Other times I was just sad and wanted to just be around people. And it's hard with just a time difference.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I could call, but
they're asleep.
I love you all night. Or, hey, I'm available. And it's like, see the text in the morning. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, that was 3 a.m. I was dreaming or hopefully asleep. No, I would have been asleep. But yeah, I guess those are some difficult times over the last year.
Yeah. I liked how you were talking about just the mind shifts from, okay, I could look at this as an isolating summer, but instead I'm going to take the time and be like, okay, God, how do I sit in silence and solitude with you and just grow in that? And so when you're in those moments, what kind of things do you do? Or do you have like a rhythm of like catching every thought captive and turning it towards mm-hmm. the Lord? Like when you're in those hard times or you're like, man, am I really supposed to be here? Like people are having a hard time at home. Maybe I should go home, or this is really isolating. This isn't fun anymore. Like when you get into those moments, what kind of things do you do to kind of catch yourself and then refocus back on the Lord?
Try to get to journaling of like, okay, I need to see the thoughts in front of me.
Mm.
Otherwise, they're just going to continue to just bounce around and be like, is this a thought? No, that was a partial thought. And then move on to the next thing. But, you know, like mind map or whatever, but like on paper. Just to give myself a visual being his word. Sometimes just going and pounding on the piano again, just singing worship. And other times, it's like turning on some heavy metal music and just painting. Like, I don't know if there's a specific thing that I always go to, but sometimes it's just totally mixing it up. Or yeah. Like, oh, I've actually been in my apartment for 3 days and I'm going to go spend half the day outside just to get a change of scenery. But yeah, anywhere from journaling to try to paint or something, being in his word.
Yeah.
Or just sitting still enough to know the thoughts that are going through my head and being like, oh, that one is not from you, Lord. So, you have no authority here. Get out.
Yeah.
And then just like Psalms has been such, I feel like it's always a place of refuge, but like even reading through one psalm multiple days in a row, and it's like, okay, this is all that I've read of the Bible, but I've been in the Bible for an hour today just going over this psalm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like reconnecting with God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's such a hard thing to do sometimes too, of just being like, all right, it's all okay. We're going to be okay. And just like taking and consciously making the decision to reconnect with his heart. And mm-hmm. like you said, sometimes just sitting and being like, okay, one verse, like these are the truths that I need right now. And just sitting and meditating on them. And I think I've found myself sort of doing that a lot lately of it's really easy to get caught up in like the Bible and a year reading plans and read mm-hmm. the New Testament and like do all these things. And you have to read X number of books a year in order to like, I don't know, like there's all the pressures of being a Christian. And I think sometimes we forget that God just wants our heart and he just yeah. wants us to be close to his heart. And sometimes that looks like painting. Sometimes mm-hmm. it looks like just going for a walk. For me, honestly, sometimes it looks like taking a nap. And just yeah. being like praying myself to sleep. Cause then you wake up and I'm like, thanks God. Like that was the sustenance and the sustaining and the rest that I needed. And you knew that. And yeah, I just think getting back to his heart is what we need all the time.
Yeah. I took up climbing this summer.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, this is, that'll be easy. Actually, I was intimidated. I was just trying to tell myself it was easy. I was so freaking intimidated and lost my cool one of the times and yelled at my belayer. But it's fine. The Lord is forgiving and so is the belayer.
That's good because your life is in his hands.
Exactly. But in that, like, that taught me so much of, like, pushing physical strength or just overcoming just, like, okay, my mind is telling me I can't do this. And my belayer sees my potential, knows my strength, and knows that I can.
Mm.
And it's like, whoa. And God would be like, do you trust me as much as you trust the belayer right now? Because if something were to happen, you would either break your legs or die. And it's like, oh my gosh, God, whoa. And I'm just like having a revelation as like my hands are getting sweaty and I'm just like totally pitting out because I'm just so stressed on the wall. And then I'm just like, whoa, revelation. Yeah, I can do this. And then like climb up to the next part. And it's just like, oh, this is so humbling. So freaking humbling.
That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, we put our lives in the hands of man every day. And we're like, oh, I trust you to hold my rope and not let me fall to my death. But then we're yeah. like, God, are you sure that you can handle this hard thing? Like, are you sure you're going to get me through this? Are you sure that I'm not going to die of loneliness? Like, are you sure? And we just question him so much. And then we're like, oh yes, I trust this human with everything. And I'm just like, yeah. Oh, okay. That's funny. So looking back at your time as a missionary, both in Nicaragua and Norway, how would you say, if you could, like, it doesn't have to be one thing, how would you say that the Lord has grown you the most?
Hmm. I don't want like a half-hearted answer. So I'm just going to like really search for it really quick.
Do that. Meditate. Go for it.
I'm just going to like fully recline and stuff.
Just
and
lay back.
Yeah. I think probably broken leadership. That has come up quite a bit this last year, mainly. And then I've seen more of like a red thread throughout my life of areas where it's like, okay, I'm going to do this and it's fine. And then you come out and you're like, oh, I totally did that wrong. And then being like, oh, okay, now I need to go clean up the damage that is done. If I would have just stopped and done it your way, Lord, I would have thought it was going to be way harder. But on the flip side, like there would have been way more fruit to it. Mm. And grace and just like, oh, I totally messed up there. And then it's like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't handle this situation right. And then you walk away kind of limping. But also the situation was handled better. Like Jacob wrestling the angel.
That's like, the first thing that just came to my mind.
Yeah, like he wrestled him until he gave him the blessing, but God totally dislocated his hip and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Mm. But he was also like such a leader. And we had a whole teaching on it this fall on if you see a limping leader, follow them, because that means they've actually gone through stuff. And so I think it's been a lot of like perspective shifts, like you pointed out earlier, and being okay with, all right, if I walk away from this limping, it's worth it. And I'm not somebody who likes pain. I love taking risks and like, I'm going to go do this. I'm just going to like lean off this cliff or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But if I were to actually get hurt, oh, I hate pain. And so
that's
thinking,
so funny.
Like, if I do this, I could get hurt. But it's the right thing to do. And I know God will protect me, but still, will I walk away limping? And evaluating stuff more in that light than, oop, there's pain ahead. I'm gonna go around it. And it just ends up taking way longer. Mm. Yeah. So I don't think I'm there yet, but and my eyes on it of like, okay, if I end up being a limping leader, nice.
Yeah.
If I just have to be broken at times, nice. I hope that I hold on to the grace that God gives in the midst of it. But like my eyes on the prize, you know?
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. I think a lot of times we see the pain that could lie ahead and we're like, I'm just gonna go this way or I'm gonna turn back, and God's like, no, I want you to experience that pain because it's in the midst of the pain that you'll experience me. And I mean, life is scary. It was scary to get married and move to Virginia and be in a place that I've never known. And like you said, I could have walked away like very hurt, like loving people. Like you said, you love relationships and you love putting yourself out there to be in those relationships, and people can hurt us. And I think at the end of the day, we just have to say, like, is God worth it? Like, is what he has called us to worth it? Because if it is, we would be okay to walk away as a limping leader and okay to walk away with the possibility that someone or something could hurt us, you know?
Yeah.
Because to God be the honor and glory forever. And so that's such a good growth and mindset to have. I love that.
Try to keep the Hana, you know, like, Jesus, here's my mind, purify my mind. I want you, like, that's been my prayer this season of like, God, purify my mind.
Mm.
Even if it's like, it feels like, oh no, I'm doing good. Then I'm like, oh, purify it, Lord. If I think I'm doing good, you need to purify something.
Like, yeah.
Not to be like, oh, woe is me, but like, God, I want to take my mind, like every thought captive and come to your will, because I just want you on my mind.
Yeah. All right. So as we wrap things up, one of the questions, well, there's two questions I like to ask, but the first one is how have you seen the goodness of God in the lives of those around you? And so in your sense, how have you seen the goodness of God moving through Norway and through your YWAM base lately?
Yeah, I think like living in a community and serving with people and working with them every single day, like the people that I'm around, I see them every day. Go into the office and see them. After work, if we're hanging out, see them. And just seeing moments of God really revealing himself. Like over Christmas, I was talking to one of the girls that I work with, and we're just talking about the friendship of God.
Mm.
And she's like, okay, then I want to grow in that. Like, what does it mean to be God's friend? And just like, whoa, Lord, you're revealing your goodness and friendship. And I just want to see how this plays out because I know that I know you're good.
Yeah.
See somebody else experience it. I think that's probably some of the most rewarding things. And just his provision, I would say in all aspects, like physically, financially, relationally, emotionally, like he's just so good. And so how can I bring that into my day? Because it's already there. It's more of like acknowledging that it's there throughout my day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what comes to mind first.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like a side question just because I'm curious, because that's actually something I'm walking through right now, is like really learning how to be friends with God and like enjoying God. And so my word for this year is satisfied, and like learning how to be fully satisfied in him, no matter what my circumstances are. And that's something I've really been working on and have been digging into. So I would love if you gave any insight on like what that means to you and what your friend has been learning in that.
Yeah. We haven't touched base again on that conversation yet, but I can answer for myself.
Yeah.
I think it really starts with rejoicing in all things. And what is it? Psalms 42 that talks about like, God, you satisfy the longing of my heart. Mm-hmm. You know the desires of my heart. And just, I think it comes back to trusting of like, God, I trust who you are. Not like, oh, I trust that you're going to do all of these things. It's like, I trust who you are. Like, it's the same with friends. Or in relationship, it's like, yeah, I know that they're going to do these things because I trust who they are. And knowing that God is who he says he is. And if he says, I'm going to satisfy you in every aspect of your life, then he means it, because we trust him. So we know he's going to deliver. Yeah, it really is every aspect of life that he is the one that satisfies.
Yeah.
And when we look to him and have tasted and seen that he is good, everything else that tries to mimic like who he is or what he is, like you'll know instantly that it's a fake, because it's like, oh, actually, you know, like when you eat something that's like strawberry flavored thing, and it's like, I taste all the chemicals in this.
You're like, this isn't strawberry.
Yeah. Then you take a bite of an actual strawberry and you're like, yes, like I feel this. This is
the real deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And once you've tasted a real strawberry, you don't want to go back to the strawberry candies. So it's like, Lord, show me how you satisfy in like this area or like specific things. And he'll be like, okay, all right, I got you.
I love that. Okay. So that is something that I'm going to start implementing, is anytime I find myself kind of like straying, I'm gonna be like, okay, God, show me how you satisfy in this area. Man, I love that. That's another thing, Maddie, that I think from like the day I met you and we were in Nicaragua, like you have always just like inspired me in the way of when you see things in your life and you're like, okay, this isn't of God. You're like, all right, guys, I'll see you in a few hours. I'm going to go with my guitar and we're going to go over here and we're just going to sit and we're going to meditate and we're going to figure this out. Like, you were just always so faithful in like seeking God and like everything. And I always I always loved that. And I always loved when I'd like walk up to the house and I'd like see you just sitting on the back porch, because I just knew like you were having this time with the Lord. And it was just always so encouraging. And I think back on those times a lot, and how they encouraged me while I was in Nicaragua. And like, they still honestly encourage me today of like, hey, God is your friend. And sometimes he just wants you to sit. And then I think, and I'm like, Maddie was just always so good at that. And man, you're such an inspiration to me. And I know to a lot of other people. So I just needed to share that with you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So the last question, if you had any advice to share with someone who might be thinking of going onto the mission field or doing a YWAM, or honestly, just even like giving their full yes to God, what mm-hmm. would that advice be?
Be in the Word. Do not neglect the Word. Even if it's like, oh, I read 3 verses today. You read 3 verses, like meditate on those. And if there's stuff where it's like, oh man, I just want to veg out and just watch like mindless television, grab a book. Like I was not a book person until like 3 years ago, but it's like, start your day in the Word. Even if you feel drowsy, like when you wake up, I'm not a morning person. I do not like interacting with people straight away, but like
coffee first,
the Lord, coffee first and Jesus.
Yes. Like,
come on. Like don't neglect the Word, because that is, it's living and it's active and it's just as tangible of like us sitting here having a conversation of like your heart's having a conversation with the Lord while you're reading. Even if you mentally you're not cognitive of it, it's still like you're still receiving his words over you for the day. And if you were like, I'm actually really bad at remembering what I read during the day. So that's why I started journaling. Was to remember stuff, because if I write it down, I'm like, cool, this will be in my head all day.
This.
But if I don't, it's like a sticky note just like tossed out into the wind of like, there, that was my checklist for the day, and I don't know where it is.
There it goes.
Yeah, but like, be in the Word, because that'll get you way farther than like having a 5-year plan or even just an entire day's plan.
Yeah. So good. So much truth. And so true. I mean, God's word is the guiding factor of our life. And so I love that you just pointed them back to that. Like, it's not even about, I mean, it is about like prayer and stuff, but it's not, we make things so much more complicated than they need to be sometimes when in reality it is go back to God's word, see what he has to say about it. So I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I had so much fun and I loved this conversation, and I cannot wait for like everyone else to be blessed by it as much as I was. And so thank you for joining me. I love you and I will talk to you later.
All right. I love you too. Thank you so much for having me on here. Yes. And I feel like I'm just going to be like high on everything else the rest of the evening, because my heart is so full right now.
I feel that. I needed this conversation. It was so
Same.
Good. It was so good. Well, guys, I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Journey Promises podcast. If you're listening via YouTube, be sure to give the thumbs up, subscribe, and comment below what your favorite part of our conversation this week was. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, be sure to subscribe, but also rate, review, and comment so that other people can eventually find Journey Promises and hopefully be encouraged by the same things you were. And be sure to share this with your circle. We want as many people as possible to be able to grow in their faith, to borrow faith, and to eventually learn how to share their faith with others. And never forget Psalm 27:13, to always desire to see the goodness of God in the lives of those around you. I hope you guys have a good week, and we'll see you next week.